Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is the Read to Lead podcast, episode 401.
One of the big things of Stoicism I like is just the emotional intelligence. Am I looking at this rationally? How can I look at this from a different perspective? You know, the view from above, kind of having this chronological view instead of just being impulsive and stressing out about little things.
The way to stop struggling with the expectations you face at work and at home is by fundamentally changing the way you process what's happening in your life. That middle edge that sets elite athletes apart will help you become the champion leader you want to be. Hi, I'm Jeff Brown, and this is the Read to Lead podcast, the podcast that's dedicated to your personal and professional growth. This show began out of my belief that if you want to achieve true success in business and in life, then intentional and consistent reading is a must. Through this podcast, I'll help highlight the books you need to be paying attention to, and I'll bring you the key insights and main ideas from some of today's most successful and inspiring authors. And today we get two authors for the price of one. In a moment, we'll sit down together with Jim Aframo and Phil White, authors of the new book, The Leader's Mind: How Great Leaders Prepare, Perform, and Prevail. I'm going to ask Jim and Phil to share about how to get into the minds of your people and get them past their fears, the importance of lifelong learning and knowing yourself, the key principles of Stoicism that all leaders should embrace, and plenty more. You know, one thing you don't have to convince me to embrace is opportunities to save money. I have one of those opportunities for you right now, courtesy our sponsor, and that is ScriptCo at ScriptCo.com, ScriptCo.com. They ask, wouldn't it be nice if your prescription meds arrived on time every month, neatly packaged on your doorstep? And wouldn't it be great if you were actually saving money for that convenience? ScriptCo is the first online pharmacy that puts into your hands the power of wholesale medicine and home delivery. After all, why let insurance companies decide how much you're going to pay for those medications, right? At ScriptCo, they've cut out the middleman and given the power, 100% of it, to you. They shop around for the absolute lowest price anywhere on the medicine you need without the insurance price hike. Then they send the best deal to your door. And with a ScriptCo membership, you save big with access to wholesale prices on your generic medications. To see how much you could be saving right now, check out their free savings calculator at ScriptCo.com. Again, that's ScriptCo.com. And because you listen to Read to Lead, you can save even more. You get $25 off your initial membership when you use the code READ25. That's READ25. So visit them now, see how much money you can save. ScriptCo, ScriptCo.com. Jim Aframo is a much sought-after mental skills coach, licensed professional counselor, co-founder of The Champion's Mind, and the author of The Champion's Mind, The Champion's Comeback, and The Young Champion's Mind. For over 20 years, Dr. Aframo has assisted numerous high school, collegiate, recreational, and professional athletes. In addition, he has mentally trained several U.S. and international Olympic competitors. Phil White is an Emmy-nominated writer and the co-author of The 17-Hour Fast with Dr. Frank Merritt, Waterman 2.0 with Kelly Starrett, and Unplugged with Andy Galpin and Brian McKenzie. Their new book together is called The Leader's Mind: How Great Leaders Prepare, Perform, and Prevail. And I'm delighted to welcome them to the Read to Lead podcast. Jim, Phil, thanks for being here today. Really appreciate having you.
Thanks so much, Jeff. We're happy to be here.
Thank you, sir.
Well, I want to start by asking you, how do you two guys from these very different backgrounds manage to come together to write a book? And sort of secondary to that, what was the process like? Phil, I'm going to start with you on that question.
Thank you. Well, Jim and I had done an email interview together back in the day for some publication. I can't remember. It was probably Sup the Mag, which is the stand-up paddleboarding, or was, in the Surfer Magazine group that I wrote for many years, and, you know, got to know the Laird Hamiltons, the Kai Lennies of the world through that, Dave Kalama, and some other people have become great friends. And so I was also writing for Train Heroic. So the company has Training Peaks, which I still write for on the endurance side, and then Train Heroic. So really online coaching software. And I had pitched successfully a story on youth sports. And so I had Chris Bell, who directed Trophy Kids, on, you know, the story of bad sports parents. I talked to Chris Winter about kids' sleep. And then, you know, when I was, they said, well, why don't you do a sports psych or mindset one? And so obviously Jim, you know, is the cream of the crop in sports psychology and also counseling. And so I interviewed him for that. And he said, hey, you know, at the end, this was great. Could you stay on for a few minutes? I have a few upcoming projects. And, you know, I think it'd be fun to team up. And so really that was the genesis of our partnership. And now we've probably got 50 years worth of books planned out. the soon to be launched Champions Conversations podcast. And yeah, just really, it's great to be able to do good things with yourself, with solo authoring, as you know. And but to steal an analogy from Laird Hamilton in the documentary, Laird, he said, you know, alone I could have ridden some pretty good waves, but together, you know, in his case, it's with Derek Dorner, with Dave Kalama, with what they used to call the Strat Crew, at, that really started pioneering that wave riding on jaws and tow surfing and foil boarding that you see everywhere, stand-up paddleboarding. Together, we've been able to ride so many great waves. And I think Jim and I are riding some pretty fun waves ourselves now.
Awesome. That related to that, Jim, I want to ask you, having experienced a similar journey myself, having co-written a book, I've had experts after the fact tell me things like, why did you co-write a book? That's like the hardest way to do it. Was that your experience with your co-author, even though he's sitting here and listening to what you're going to respond with? Or was it like mine? Was it pretty pleasant? It sounds like it was.
What's great about working with Phil is, you know, we really just, you know, it was so natural. And I've had a lot of experience working with teams and universities. And, you know, I was the sports psychologist for the San Francisco Giants. I was at Arizona State University for a long time. And then I got into my own private practice work full time. And I really missed that, you know, being part of something special and working closely with others and, you know, practicing the things that I was learning about leadership and teamwork. And so Phil wrote an amazing book on Winston Churchill. And Winston Churchill is a, you know, I'm a big fan of him. And so I'm thinking, man, this guy is smart. He's into sports and he's very psychologically minded and he could write his tail off. So, you know, I jumped on that and we're just having a ball. We're having a lot of fun teaming up on these various projects, and working on the book was, you know, just kind of a dream come true. I toiled away at my first three books, The Champion's Mind, The Champion's Comeback, and The Young Champion's Mind. And man, that would have been a much better experience if Phil was on board for those three books, and they would have turned out much better.
Well, one of the things I like about the book, Diving In, is that you study leaders from all walks of life. I mean, we've got surgeons, we've got coaches, we've got athletes, we've got pilots. And the first chapter starts us off with someone who's in a position of leadership, dealing with things that most people don't have to deal with. And that's like literal out of control fires. And I'll put this to you, Jim, what did you learn about interviewing Nick about how, you know, he was able to get into the minds of his crew and get them past their initial fears when they're new at this and coming at this from no experience?
Yeah. Nick Peters is a really special guy. And he was so generous in terms of sharing his hard-earned wisdom on this topic. And I know Phil will chime in as well. We enjoyed interviewing him. But, you know, one of the things that he said, you know, when we started talking with them, is that leadership can be summed up as just be a good person. And so you're really looking out for everyone's well-being on your team. And, you know, so what's the next step? And the next step is, you know, he talks about communication is life. And so he really wants to get to know the people that work with him, you know, instead of, you know, really looking at them as they work for me. They're not productivity machines. They're all in it to win it. And so he gets to know them really well. And I think two things that he does really well. Number one is, in terms of the U.S. Forest Service, there are four key principles. Well, there are three key principles that he uses in terms of duty, integrity, and respect. And so everything comes back to that. And, you know, in terms of what's your job, you know, are you walking the talk? And then are you respecting the job and everyone that you work with? And so I think that's really important. And then the second thing, he does an amazing job with after action reviews. And so, you know, after battling a fire, they're going to get together and he, for a period of reevaluation in terms of four simple questions, you know, what was planned, you know, what actually happened. It's usually different. Why did it happen? And what can we do better next time? And so I really like that process that he leads them through. And they do it so collaboratively that, so one of the things that he does is he lets his crew lead it and they switch off in terms of who's going to lead it. So everyone's involved. And one of the reasons he does that is he wants to eventually help promote them. And so they got to get used to speaking in front of others. So I really like that idea. And then, you know, one more quick thing is he really makes sure that the job fits their their qualifications. So, you know, he's never going to set someone up for failure. So if this guy's, you know, a little bit green, he's going to make sure that he starts in an area that he's going to have success at. And then he can slowly build up his confidence and his skills. And so I really like that instead of throwing him in the fire, literally, you know, or figuratively, and then setting up for failure, which is, you know, going to really destroy that person's confidence. Just really thinking about the well-being of everyone, I think, is the gist.
Yeah. You know, I'm a big fan of the NBA and have followed Steve Kerr's career for some time. I think you guys mentioned that he's got five championships between player and being a coach, I believe. Phil, I'll throw this to you. How did you see his experiences interviewing him and his friendships, his relationships? How did those things come together to prepare him to be at that level, both on the court as a player and then as a coach?
Yeah, unfortunately, we didn't have direct access to Steve at the time, which is hoping to interview him with Tim DeFrancesco for Basketball Strong Soon and Jim and I for Champion Conversations. But that chapter in the Daniel Lebetsky, we kind of wrote as kind of fanboys, I guess you could say, from afar, as two, you know, we were just brainstorming who impresses us.
Yeah.
And Steve learned under the tutelage of one of the best college basketball coaches in history. So everyone knows John Wooden, but someone of a similar era a little bit later is Lute Olson. And also his wife, just an amazing leader and, you know, would help really instill core values in these young men. And they took Steve Kerr in essentially after his father was murdered in the Middle East. He was president of American University in Lebanon. And somebody, you know, dissidents broke in and killed him. Just horrific. And, you know, I think that was a bond between him and Michael Jordan, in that obviously what happened to Michael's father, James, God bless him and God rest his soul as well. So learning how to be a man from somebody the caliber of Lute Olson and Lute Olson's wife set Steve Kerr up. And I recently heard from Judd Bushler, who people may know as winning three championships, you know, on that Michael Jordan, Scottie Pippen, Dennis Rodman, Phil Jackson team. So Michael's second three-peat. Steve was able to pour back into Judd what Lute Olson had poured into him. And they overlapped 1 year. So Judd was a freshman. Steve was a senior. But even Judd had a chance to go to Europe and start and make a lot more money. Because people don't realize, like, a lot of the clubs that own Real Madrid, own some of the biggest soccer clubs, actually under the same parent company are the big European basketball teams. And this is where Nikola Jokic, Luka Doncic, and before them Bargnani, Tony Parker come out of. And this is a really high level of basketball, which is why these teams have pushed Team USA so hard in recent Olympics and World Championships. So anyway, Kerr himself, he was poured into by Lute Olson. His parents were very intelligent, both academics, and also very principled people. And then also, Jim always says, first embrace your role and then commit to excellence in your role. Be the best in your role. And John Paxson was... So we see Steve Kerr pouring into Judd Bushler. I mentioned Lute Olson's influence. But he identified John Paxson as, this is me. This is me for, you know, 3, 4, 5, 7 years down the track. I want to be John, but then I want to be Steve in John's role. And we saw that they both hit basically championship winning shots where Jordan trusted both of those guys enough. And also people look at Steve Kerr next to a Jordan or a Pippen or a Rodman and think, oh, he's a small guy, whatever. But as we found out in The Last Dance, and you may know as an NBA fan before that, him and Jordan came to blows in a practice. And while Jordan might say he won the fight, Steve Kerr, like, smacked him and got up in his chest and would not back down, even though Michael had probably 60 pounds and 5 or 6 inches on him. Steve Kerr is a scrapper. He's a fighter and he's a learner. Jeff Van Gundy taught him how to start compiling notes. And then Pete Carroll was the one that instilled in him the need to identify four core values. So Kerr sits down with his wife, with Ron Adams, and with Bruce Fraser, and they come up with these values. And one of them is joy. Then they tied it to a statistic. We want 300 passes a game because the guys will be more joyful and more bought in if we can lead the NBA in passing. And he learned this from Greg Popovich in San Antonio and Phil Jackson and Tex Winner of the triangle offense in Chicago. Then they start to get some more advanced stats. Well, how many passes do we want per quarter and this kind of thing? So he was able to take a very people-focused approach. Lou Dolson, Pete Carroll, Phil Jackson, John Paxson, all these folks who had poured into him, and then he poured them out into Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green. The reason the Warriors is successful, yes, it helps to have two or three of the greatest shooters in history, a savage leader in Draymond Green, but Steve Kerr is a lover of people and a true servant leader. That is why he is successful as a player. He won five championships, three of the Bulls, two of the Spurs, and that is why. Had it not been for Clay's injury, Durant's injury, it would have been, and they choked, frankly, against the Cavs, it would have been four championships as a coach. Now they're back on top in the West. So, yeah, who is pouring it? Who can you find to pour into your life as a mentor so that you can then mentor others?
Yeah, you talk about the choking. They were up 3-0 on the Cavs, weren't they?
Yeah, 3-1 or something like 3-1. That. Yeah. But, yeah. And I mean, LeBron's greatness did take, he basically took that team, put him on his back, and let's not diminish that he's the best player since Michael Jordan.
Yeah. But
not to take anything away from him or say that the Warriors threw it away because they were still fighting hard. But yeah, who can you find? There's a great, there's a book around this right now about who, right? Who is the person? I got Anwar McQueen, who started Team Inc. Check him out at teaminc.org. He played with Jason Kidd and Sharif Abdur-Rahim at Cal Berkeley. He said that the best book he's read in the last few years is this book, Who. Who do you know? Who do you know from high school that can pour into you, that can help you get to that next level? Who might you be able to help, expecting nothing in return? Who? Who is that person? Who are those people to pour into you and then for you to pour into others?
I want to comment both of you with this next one, and I'll leave it up to you as to who begins. But I think most of us are familiar with the story of Captain Sully and landing a plane on the Hudson. I think fewer of us are familiar with what Tammy Jo Schultz accomplished. What would you say she attributes her ability to take control of a plane suffering not only from a failed engine, but damaged fuselage and land it safely? I mean, this is just amazing.
My wife's friend and former colleague, Arlene Fender, landed the interview. So Tammy Jo and I both went to Mid-American Nazarene University, where before he passed, my father-in-law, John, taught John Stevens taught math and was VP of finance. And my wife worked in her dad's office back in high school. And then again, when we had kids, worked part-time again in that finance office afterwards. And so Arlene was one of the member of that team, and her best friend in college, she was an 83 graduate of MNU, was Tammy Jo Schultz. So all the credit goes to Arlene, and to my wife, not to me.
Well, through you, but yeah, say more about that. She was so fun, and we interviewed her and her husband, and her husband was actually supposed to fly that day, which is a fascinating kind of story that most people don't know. And she took over. Yeah, say more about that, Phil. Wasn't she fantastic?
Yeah, she was great. So they had a kids event, and you know, they tried to kind of tag team the parenting when they're both captains. They were, you know, both captains. Tammy Jo recently retired from Southwest Airlines, but and so it was like, no, I'll take this one so you can go to the game or the track meet or whatever. And it would have been Dean flying that plane, but I think it would have been the same outcome.
Wow, that's amazing. I've got to admit that rugby is not at the top of my list of sports that I follow, if I'm being honest. But I did enjoy reading about another Nick, the strength and conditioning coach for the New Zealand All Blacks. You guys mentioned that other books have tried to offer third-party observations about what drives the team's leadership principles and dedication to excellence. But Nick gives some real insight into that, doesn't he, Phil?
Yeah, so not to mention the name of the book because it's great, but there was a photographer who did an unauthorized book, and if he showed up at the All Blacks now, he might have some problems with some very strong, large men. Whereas ours literally went through, Nick has been strength and conditioning coach there through multiple World Cup, through two World Cup wins, through the captaincy of Richie McCaw, arguably the greatest rugby player of all time, coach Steve Hansen, now coach Ian Foster. And so this was authorized. It went through the structure. He reviewed it. The All Blacks gave it their blessing. So yeah, anyone that's read a certain one word title book, which again, there's nothing wrong with the book and there's nothing wrong with the guy. We don't know the guy. He did an amazing job. But if you want an authorized account of how the New Zealand All Blacks became and maintain their status as not just the best team in rugby, but the best national team in team sports history, almost a 90% win ratio. This is the chapter. This is the true insider's view. Jim, any thoughts on Nick's leadership and the All Blacks? How do they sustain excellence, Jim, in your opinion?
Yeah, I mean, both feed in. I mean, everything they do to the max. And, you know, it's easy to get to the top of the mountain, but then you got to keep climbing. And it's kind of a little Zen little idea there. But I love how they're just always trying to get better and then also always trying to get to know each other better. So it really is a true family.
It's one thing to get there, one thing to stay there. You got to keep doing the things that got you there in the first place, right? Well, we talked about Tammy Jo Schultz earlier, and gosh, that's a high-pressure situation to land that plane in those circumstances. But when it comes to jobs that involve sort of ongoing high pressure, you'd be hard pressed to name something higher up the list than neurosurgeon. And Jim, talk about the reasons for the emphasis that Katrina Furlick places on things like lifelong learning, which I'm a big fan of, and just knowing yourself.
Yeah, two great questions. So she actually read her book years ago. It's called Another Day in the Frontal Lobe, and it's a great title. And it's interesting, as a sports psychologist and a licensed professional counselor, I'm sort of a surrogate frontal lobe for clients and patients dealing with crisis, and you know, to help them think through and process and get back on track again. But yeah, when Phil and I were interviewing her, so I always thought, man, it would be interesting to kind of peer inside her mind and her head and get to learn about, you know, her mindset, her leadership and teamwork skills in that environment. And so what I really loved about her is, as you said, she has this amazing growth mindset. And she said she loves being on the steep part of the learning curve. I like that a lot. And so, you know, that could be new operations and the mastery of technique, but also moving from neurosurgery to the role of entrepreneur. And so she's has a startup and co-founder of Health Prize Technologies. And so acquiring new, you know, new language, new skills, new experiences. She loves that. She embraces that. And it keeps her on her toes. It keeps things fresh. Mm. Now, in terms of knowing herself, what I really like is that she knows who she is and she knows who she wants to be. And she, and a lot of these, you know, maybe female pioneers in neurosurgery help pave the way for her. But she felt like, you know, the early ones had to put on these airs of like, this is, you know, I'm supposed to be kind of like a male in the, you know, whatever that means, traditional male in the operating room. And she's like, no, I want to be more feminine and, you know, and have a sense of humor and not feel like people have to walk around eggshells around me, you know, whatever I say, and just more collaborative. And, you know, so I really like her approach. It's just a friendly approach. And she wants to be herself. She doesn't want to pretend to be a man or what she thinks that she should be. And so she's very genuine. We use the term authenticity a lot, you know, obviously in the leadership world. And she really tries to live that. And I think that's why people love working with her.
Another chapter six, has another coaching example, I think for good reason, because they motivate, they shape attitudes, they shape mindsets. I've had some great coaches in my history and some great leaders, certainly. Jim, talk about the humble beginnings that you share about Paul Ratliff, I believe it is, and the impact of those humble beginnings on his leadership style at Stanford.
So Paul Ratliff is the winningest coach in Stanford history, men's or women's soccer. They've won three national championships, you know, just too many awards to list right now, or we'd run out of time. But he's from Leeds in the north of England, near where I think where Phil is from originally.
Okay.
And as you can tell by Phil's accent. But what I really found fascinating about him when Phil and I interviewed him is his dad was just this go-getter and, you know, go, 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 and, you know, intense and, you know, full systems go kind of deal, where mom was a little bit more like, hey, take a day off, you know, relax, you know, enjoy yourself. Everything's fine. And so what he's done is he's really taken the best of both those worlds and applied it to working with the Stanford student athletes. And so, and then in terms of self-care for himself. So he'll, you know, when he's on 100%, you know, everything else goes in his mental locker. And then when he gets home and he's around his family, he's where his family is and really enjoying their presence.
Excellent. I want to come to you one more time, Jim, before I finish with Phil, if I may. You guys are a big fan of stoicism, as am I. I read from Ryan Holiday's book, The Daily Stoic. Every morning I have for 689 straight days now, going for the two full years by the end of, of 2021. What are some of the key principles of Stoicism that you believe that leaders should embrace?
Well, the chapter on Marcus Aurelius and Stoicism just fascinated both Phil and I in terms of, you know, here's the guy that's the most powerful person on earth, you know, when he was the leader of Rome. And yet he never took advantage of that. And instead of pointing fingers or, you know, walking around, you know, like he's better than everyone, he would look more at himself and say, well, wait a minute, before you start pointing fingers, and, you know, in the sports world, sometimes we call it, you know, be a thumb guy, you know, like point at yourself, not at others.
Extreme ownership. Yeah. What Jocko and Leaf call extreme ownership, right?
Exactly. Yeah. He was extreme ownership 2000 years ago. And, and, but I really love just, you know, one of the big things of Stoicism I like is just the emotional intelligence. Am I looking at this rationally? How can I look at this from a different perspective, you know, the view from above, kind of having this chronological view instead of just being impulsive and stressing out about little things. And so kind of putting things in perspective. So I really like that. And then one of the principles, obviously, of Stoicism from Epictetus is control the controllables. And, you know, that's a buzzword in sports psychology, but and we all know that control, you know, I can't control that. So why worry about it? Or I can control this. So then focus on that. But how often do we really live that? And he really lived that, which I thought was pretty cool.
Yeah. I had never heard of Daniel Lubetzky, Phil, before I read your book, but was fascinated by his story. Can you share a bit about his mission-driven leadership philosophy and a bit about his background?
So again, we did ask a representative of his company if he was available, and he was not. You know, my wife and my kids and I first came across him as a guest on Shark Tank. You know, he's sitting there with Mr. Wonderful, Kevin O'Leary, with Mark Cuban, Barbara Corcoran, Laurie Grenier, Damon John, the rest. And we love all of those folks for various reasons, right? I'm an old Dallas Mavericks fan. Nicole and I, when we were first married, used to buy $16 or $18 tickets during the Steve Nash and Dirk Nowitzki glory days and Michael Finley, and love Mark's. Mark is not a typical NBA owner. And other than Steve Ballmer, I can't think of anyone else who's always at every home game and just has such a great, if you saw Luka Doncic's buzzer beater winner from earlier this year, he's the first one on the court to rush him and, you know, kind of bum rush him at the end of the game, and just a passionate guy. But, you know, as much as we love all the other entrepreneurs and that come on the show and those that they're trying to get deals from, Lubetzky just has this quiet gravitas about him, this almost calming presence, like an honorary uncle. And my wife's, you know, relative Mickey is a youth pastor and kind of has this same demeanor. Like we miss him now. We're in Colorado and he recently moved to take a new job in Florida. And we were like, man, I need some Mickey comfort. Like maybe we should fly him out here for a few days. And Daniel has that same air about him. But Kind is a more than $1 billion business founded on the idea of what it's called, kindness. And you know, Lubetzky's story. So it starts in the darkest of darks in the Holocaust. You know, more than 7 million people annihilated, you know, first ostracized as a second class citizen, being a Jew, not just in Germany, but in the other countries around them. And before that, you know, pogroms and horrible things in history, too. And Lubetzky's family was Jewish. So, you know, his father and grandfather managed to survive the Holocaust. An army division liberated the camp they were in before they perished. And thank God they did. Emigrated to Mexico and eventually to the U.S. And he said to his dad one time, like, why are you always giving money to these homeless guys? Like, you know, what if they're cheating you? What if they're, and we see this, you know, we see this in Evergreen right by our house every day. And he said, you know, Daniel, I would rather give money to somebody who didn't need it than the reverse, right? And these life lessons were instilled in him from a very early age. And now you combine this with someone who basically created their first business when they were in grade school with their cousin and put on magic shows for family and then turned this into a business. And then started selling watches in the mall and had one of those little pop-up stalls before that was even a thing, made it successful. And, you know, so he learned life lessons from his father about how to be a man in this world and how to be a godly man, but also how to be an entrepreneur and just have this hunger for entrepreneurship. So he starts a business. He goes to the wins a fellowship, goes to the Middle East, and manages to find a way to unite people of all faiths from different countries, small producers, and creates this business around product from the Middle East / the Mediterranean. And a version of that company is still going today. Mm. But the aim behind that first company was, I want to bring Christians, Jews, Hindus, Muslims, people that don't profess a faith or would call themselves agnostic or atheist. I want to just bring them together, and business might be a way to do that in a more subtle way than politics and across these divides. And then eventually this became the philosophy underpinning Kindbar. So their acts of kindness program, like out of all big companies I look at, a lot of jumping on the bandwagon with giving to nonprofits as a virtue signal. Kind was founded on giving back, on community, and on bridging gaps between people of different backgrounds, beliefs. And so Daniel Lebetsky is the one-man army that started that, that put it into practice, and really has created a legacy to his grandfather, his father, and all those 7 million plus Jews that were lost in the Holocaust of, this is a better way to live and to treat people. And my goodness, like in politics right now, in phrases like a plague of the unvaccinated that are wildly irresponsible and are creating two classes of citizens in this country, or attempting to.
It's
not a left or right thing. Yeah. It's a freedom versus tyranny. It's a togetherness versus divisiveness. We need Daniel Lebetsky's voice. Buy his book about the finding of Kindbar. Like, if you don't read anything else before Christmas, or you want a gift to buy someone that you care about, buy Daniel Lebetsky's book. Get an inside view of what it means to have a true heart for people and to want to use whatever talents, and you know, in his case, entrepreneurship, you have to bring people together. And that is the heart of your company. Values are at the heart of your company. It's not an add-on so you can virtue signal on social media.
No, I'm so glad you said that. I was just thinking that as you were talking about that very issue that you laid out. I didn't know if I was going to be brave enough to say it, but now I don't have to because you did it for me.
Because I don't care, because it's the truth. It's the truth. You cannot come out with sayings that are based on propaganda statements from tyrannical regimes and hope to lead or unite a country. And it's not a left or right thing. I'm not political at all.
Yeah.
It is a togetherness versus divisiveness issue. And how you speak it and how you live it mean more than irresponsible political slogans. So let us look at a Daniel Lebetsky. Let us look at the extreme ownership of Jocko Willink and Leif Babin. Let us look at these folks and try to do likewise.
Yeah, well said. Well said. Well, I encourage everyone to dig into these stories more fully by buying the book. I certainly enjoyed it and love how each chapter is laid out, where we have the lessons learned, and then you guys come in and expound on those lessons throughout the telling of the various stories. Before we wrap things up, I mean, I tried to dip our toes in the water of each chapter just a little bit. Anything you guys want to add that we didn't touch on, that I didn't ask about? Jim, anything that you'd like to make sure we know before we wrap up?
Yeah, I'm just thinking about eating a Kind Bar right now.
So. Yeah, me too. I haven't eaten hungry today. Yeah.
Phil got me hungry talking about that.
I need my Kind Bar and my scoop of HANA 1 like right now. Okay.
What I would add, though, seriously, is that you don't have to brave it alone. You know, leadership is a wilderness. And so having these role models in the book from different fields and, you know, different achievement domains, I think is really powerful. And I encourage people to, you know, as Phil said, read as much as you can. Leaders are readers, as we all have heard, and it's true. And so read to Lead by Jeff Brown. As Phil said, read Daniel Lebetsky's book.
Yeah.
And then, you know, if you do read our book, we hope you like it. We had a blast writing it together, and we're so excited for future writing projects. Mm. Phil, what would you say to bring things home?
I forgot that we were coming on your podcast and that was the name of both the show and the book and the tweet. But I'm not a big social guy, and candidly, I wouldn't be on there at all if it wasn't trying to just get our work out and then, you know, share the work of others like Daniel Lebetsky and Steve Kerr with a bigger audience. And like you said, the Tammy Jo Schultz story was widely reported, but for some reason, probably because she's a woman, she doesn't have a TV deal or there isn't a Sully movie. There should be about her and her husband. They're amazing. You know, and Nick Peters is literally at the fire line every single day and is keeping these young guys and girls safe. And Nick Gill is humbly working behind the scenes and is the most humble, genuine guy, despite the fact his employer is the most successful sports team in national sports team history. A lot of unsung heroes in this book, and there are a lot of unsung heroes out there every day. People that are, it may be as simple as, again, going back to Lebetsky, what is your act of kindness? How can you serve for the day? So do you open a door when you see a mom with a toddler on you know, holding her hand / pulling back the other way and a baby on the other hip? Do you let someone come out in front of you at a stop sign when you're not sure who got to the four-way stop first? Like, simple acts that don't seem like much, but common courtesy. Like, how can you apply common courtesy? And again, Jim often speaks about gratitude. Like, everything is better with gratitude. Even punctuating each day with one person you're thankful for, one thing you're thankful for.
Yep. And Jeff, we're thankful to you for having us on today.
Well, thank you, guys. A reminder, the book, again, is called The Leader's Mind, How Great Leaders Prepare, Perform, and Prevail. A book that is well worth your time. Jim, thank you. Phil, thank you for being here today. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, Jeff.
Thank you, sir. Pleasure's all ours.
I don't know about you, but I've got a couple of books I want to dig into more deeply in addition to the one that we featured today. To find that information and get a summary of today's episode, you can visit the show notes page. That is at readtoleadpodcast.com/401 for episode 401. And speaking of books, if you haven't checked out my book, I hope you'll consider picking that up. Over 60 ratings and reviews on Amazon, 4.9 stars is the average rating. You can find out more about it at readtoleadbook.com. It's called Read to Lead, The Simple Habit That Expands Your Influence and Boosts Your Career. Again, that's at readtoleadbook.com. And I hope you'll remember our sponsor, ScriptCo, at ScriptCo.com to save on your medications, ScriptCo.com for more. Well, that does it for this week. I look forward to seeing you next time. Until then, as always, remember, leaders read and readers lead.
Summer camp is a magic place where kids discover who they are because they have the freedom to explore on their own. Y-Camp at Horse Thief Reservoir is a sleepaway camp in the heart of Idaho's wilderness. Each summer, campers make friends, build new skills, and learn to love the outdoors through activities like canoeing, archery, zip lining, rock climbing, campfires, and more. Registration for Y-Camp at Horse Thief Reservoir is open. Financial assistance is available. Learn more at ycampidaho.org.